Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, inviting you to subscribe to our other podcast called The Grave Talks. It's where I sit down and interview individuals who've had extreme paranormal situations happen to them in their lives. Just search The Grave Talks on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to press subscribe and give us some stars to help spread the word that this show exists. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, the Nickerson-Sneed House. Generations called the Nickerson-Sneed House home. Now, many of those who once lived behind these walls have returned from the dead to share a glimpse into the life they once led. Do all these spirits know that we are catching a glimpse into their former lives, or are they trying to convey a message to the living today? Today on The Grave Talks, we discuss the current and dark past of the Nickerson-Sneed House with paranormal investigator Jake Fife.
Well, the Nickerson-Sneed is interesting because the paranormal activity doesn't just have to do with the location, the history that took place in the home. It has to do with kind of a bleed-in of around the area. See, the original part of the Nickerson-Sneed House was a two-room log cabin that was built around 1744, 1745 by Francis King Cannon. But even before Francis King Cannon came to Glade Springs, Virginia, close by Nickerson-Sneed, over the ridge, about half a mile away, it was a huge gathering area for the Cherokee Native American tribes and even the Shawnee Native American tribes. And this was an area, not just that little gathering spot, but pretty much everywhere around it was kind of like a safe zone where, hey, if we run into your tribe or your war party, we won't attack you, you won't attack us, we will trade. And once a year, typically around the fall, they would gather, different tribes would come to this one place, and they would do kind of like fall rituals. They would trade with each other. They would have feasts, almost like a Thanksgiving type thing. And one of the reasons that it said that they went there was because in that general area, there was a very strong spiritual presence. And there's a local legend around there that in the woods, the spirits would hide. That was the gathering place for the spirits of the region. And that on specific nights of the year, the spirits would come out of the forest. And so these Native American tribes, they would go there hoping that they could please the spirits and contact them. And so when Francis King Cannon came there, well, first, they were kind of run out pretty quickly by some of the local militia in the area because they had had some issues with them in the past. And so Francis King Cannon, he came from Ireland and he went to Pennsylvania, didn't really do well in Pennsylvania, and he had a brand new daughter, and he basically just wanted a fresh start. He was like, well, Pennsylvania is not really working for me. He didn't get along with some of the people. He had some problems with some of the local law enforcement from what we've been able to tell. So he was a surveyor. That's what he became when he came to America. He was originally just a regular farmer. And he started doing scouting trips into Virginia. And one of the people that he used to ride with was George Washington on scouting trips. And so he discovered this little area towards the bottom of Virginia near the North Carolina border, which is modern-day Glade Springs, and he decided in 1744 that he was going to move his entire family there, which at the time was a little crazy because no one else was living there. Now, the county militias, they would patrol through there, but pretty much everyone stayed away from that area, like I said earlier, because that was the big meeting place of these tribes. And it was known as a place where if you went there to move, you probably weren't coming back alive. And so he went against everyone's opinion and judgment, and he took his family down there. And along the way, he met a few other people, and they kind of joined and formed like a mini wagon train. And when they got to Glade Springs, he set up his little cabin, and they set it up originally as a cabin, and then they transformed it into a bit of a fort. And during the French and Indian War, it saw a little action. Most of the action in the area actually took place about a mile and a half away. There were some little skirmishes, not really anything big, but from what I've been able to gather in my research, the house was attacked at least once. And after a while, he started having some more kids, and he had this son, his oldest, Andrew King Cannon, who later became a lieutenant in the Continental Army and fought at Kings Mountain during the Revolution. He started teaching him how to be a surveyor and a tracker. And that's pretty much what the King Cannons were known for. They were, if you wanted to know what was over that ridge that no one had dared go over, you asked Francis King Cannon and his son. If you wanted a road cut out, you called Mr. King Cannon. And so they started getting more friends that way. They started to make some pretty good money. And after about 10, 15 years of living pretty much alone, aside from one other family in the Great Springs area, more and more people started to go there. And Francis King Cannon did carve out a wagon road that went in front of his house, which is still there to this day. And Great Springs started becoming what it is today. And his family oversaw everything. They owned about 85% of the town. And, you know, they were just very big figures to the point to where they had sway over the local and the county courts, which, you know, they had a few issues that popped up every once in a while. But for my records, the issues disappeared. And, you know, if you put two and two together, it's kind of easy to tell why they disappeared as fast as they did. And then when the Revolutionary War came to the area, now Francis King Cannon, he was still alive. He didn't die until about the mid-1780s. So about the Revolutionary War, he was still alive. And Glade Springs, because that was the only road in front of his house. And his house was an old decommissioned fort. It was restored back to its fort status. And it was used as a recruitment center a little bit for, you know, the local militia captains would go there. They would offer food and drink and get people to sign up. And that was the most traveled road for militias and even an army going down south to the Southern campaign. And there were some skirmishes during the Revolutionary War in West Virginia, Southern West Virginia, and then Southern Virginia. Most of the action was between Native Americans and settlers. It wasn't really American versus British. And so around the Glade Springs is the kind of action that it saw. And one of the big things that the house contributed to was it was a field hospital. And during the march to Kings Mountain, a few regiments that ended up joining the Over Mountain Men to take down Patrick Ferguson at Kings Mountain, they ended up resupplying and tending to their wounded at the Nickerson Sneed House before traveling down, you know, for the battle. So the house has had a lot of history, very interesting history. Now, Francis King Cannon and his wife did die in the house. He did expand it to another room, so it was a pretty good-sized cabin, especially for the time. And his son, who was a lieutenant now, Andrew King Cannon, he ended up taking over the house, but he sold it in the 1810s, I believe it was. And the person that ended up getting it, which is weird because there's not really records of this exact deal. It's more of like, what I'm assuming it was a verbal deal. It didn't go much into handwriting. But it eventually got down to this one family. I'm wanting to say it was the Young family. I believe that was the name, but don't quote me on that. And they had an older son. And in the 1820s, he married this girl named Betsy. And Betsy was just a local girl who, you know, her family had a good bit of land in the Glade Springs area, but the Young family, you know, they basically inherited all of the King Cannon stuff. The King Cannon just said, here, we're, you know, picking up shop and we're going west. And so they just gave everything to this family. And so Betsy ended up marrying into this family, but her husband died after about a year and a half of being married. Now, they did have a son together. And so Betsy, when he died, she got the entire property. She got the estate, all the land he owned. She got the house, the servants, the slaves, which at the time was a little weird because typically, you know, you give it to your next of kin, you give it back to your family, your mom, your dad, something like that. And so there was a little bit of animosity between his family and Betsy, because, you know, they're like, well, who are you? You've only been here a year, year and a half with us. What makes you think you're really entitled to all of this? Mm-hmm. And then enter Dr. Nickerson Sneed. He ran a local practice, and he had a decent amount of land, but from everything I've seen, he was a very ambitious person. And I think he saw opportunity, and he very quickly struck up a relationship with Betsy, and before you know it, they got married. And so that's how it became the Nickerson Sneed House. About 1828 is about when this is. And so one of the first things he had done was everything was transferred into his name, not her name. That includes all the property, everything they owned. So at this point, Dr. Nickerson Sneed, he still retained his old property. So kind of like King Cannon, he owned about 85% of Glade Springs. And he kept up with the old church, which Francis King Cannon had set up. He helped maintain it. He donated to the local causes. He helped his medical practice up a little bit, which he used his house for. He used one of the rooms in the cabin. They were still living in the cabin at this point. I don't see how at this point, but he was using one of the rooms as a doctor's office. And about 1835, he decides, you know, this is a little too cramped, especially with two kids now and my doctor's practice, which is the only one in the area for like an hour and a half, 2 hours. So he starts building brick add-ons to the house. Now, something that they used to do back then is when you wanted to make an addition, you didn't exactly tear down what was there before. Now, typically, if it was a cabin, you would, because, you know, brick and cabin doesn't really go well together. It looks weird. But for some reason, Dr. Nickerson Sneed, he decided to keep the cabin, and he ended up building a house around the cabin. And still to this day, if you go into the dining room portion and one of the back room portions of the Nickerson Sneed house, you're walking on the exact wood floors that Francis King Cannon built in 1745. And I have seen these for myself. The log that was, you know, the outside of the cabin, the walls, they are still there. What Dr. Nickerson did, he literally just built around, he kind of encased it inside this new house. And he made it into a two-story, very, very nice plantation house. And he added an upstairs, which was just one room. And it was kind of like a little side room upstairs, up some stairs. And that was his doctor's office. And over time, you know, the smell of, you know, sometimes people would die in his office. We aren't sure how many exactly died, but it said more than a few died in his office. The smell would kind of creep down into the house below. And so he ended up building a little bit more of an expansion around it, kind of to block in the smell, and he closed in his office a little bit more. And so, you know, the Sneeds, they had a pretty good little setup in the area. Dr. Nickerson, he was involved in some of the local markets. He basically had not really complete control of the town, but a lot of the wheeling and dealings went through him when it came to what happened in Glade Springs. And he was very instrumental in taking Glade Springs from, you know, just this, hey, there's one road in a cool little town, check it out, to, hey, this is a major depot of supply. This is where everyone with a wagon train, everyone with supplies and army stops and resupplies and, you know, takes a breather. And Dr. Nickerson Sneed was very key in that. And so about in the 1850s, everything's going well. And then he started expanding a little bit more north. And some of the people that were already up there, they didn't like that. And so there was a little bit of verbal exchanges between them. There was a little bit of court dealings, which Dr. Nickerson Sneed eventually won. And there was the first bit of tragedy that he experienced around that time. And that was, he had this servant. I can't remember his name, but, you know, that was his favorite person on the property. And that servant, you know, they stayed on the grounds and that he built him like a small little, it's almost like a cottage looking thing. And, you know, that's where he lived, close to the house. It's where the other servants and the other slaves they ended up a little bit further down the road because, you know, back then they didn't build the servants' quarters close to the house. But for this one, he did. And there was one day when the servant, he was kicked in the head by a horse. And he was basically just sprawled out in the yard. He was pretty much dead. But Dr. Nixon, he thought he could bring him back. And so he rushed him up into the office, basically told everyone, leave me alone until he's back to life. And he started working on that servant for about a day and a half, even though he was pretty much dead when the horse kicked him in the back of the head. And after a while, Dr. Nixon seen, I guess he finally realized there was nothing to be done. So he didn't bury him. That was the thing. He ended up taking, now this is something that did actually happen. We do know that this happened. He took off his flesh and then got his bones and boiled them and cleaned them up and basically turned him into a skeleton.
I hope you enjoyed your 15-minute preview of our new podcast, The Grave Talks. Be sure to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts to not miss any episode of the show. New episodes every single Monday. Just search for The Grave Talks and then press subscribe. Give us a review while you're at it and some stars that will help us grow in the rankings and let other folks know that the show exists to make an even better show for you. The Grave Talks. Check it out at thegravetalks.com.